Hi everyone, I'm Brad Harbison. Thanks for joining us for our latest podcast. My guest today is Efren Velasco, the Technical Director of Lloyd Pest Control in San Diego, California. And Efren wrote the April PCT IPM Insights column, and that's a column that's contributed by members of the Urban Pest Management Technical Committee. So in that column, Efren discussed what pest management professionals in California did prior to and following the state's enactment of AB 1788 in January 2021, and that restricted the most uses of second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides. And so this created quite a challenge for companies like Lloyd Pest Control, which, as Efren noted in the article, has tens of thousands of rodent bait stations throughout six counties in Southern California. And so, you know, knowing that restriction was coming, Efren and Lloyd Pest Control put a plan in place. So in our podcast today, Efren is going to share some of what he learned having gone through that process. Efren, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate the invitation.
Great. So, Efren, in the article, you know, you had mentioned the importance of being involved in associations. How did being a part of NPMA and PCOC, Pest Control Operators of California, prove beneficial, specific to the rodenticide, when the rodenticide restrictions were put in place, as I mentioned, in January 21?
Yeah, that was huge. So we're an active member of both the National Pest Management Association as well as our state association, Pest Control Operators of California. And this happened to be a state law. And the thing that really helped us is we knew, first of all, advocacy up at the state level. You know, there's advocacy that PCOC does. And also just knowing what's going on. So we've known through PCOC, like, the comings and goings of this bill and the different iterations of the bill for 4 or 5 years that this kept popping up. So we kind of had an idea of what was coming, and that was all because we were active members of PCOC. And it also gave me an opportunity and a chance to talk to other people that are in the same association with me, smaller and bigger companies, kind of talking about what the potential is of this passing, what are they doing to make sure that we're all, you know, following the law as it's written. So it's huge. I mean, just being a member, being active, just knowing what's going on, preparing for what's going on, and then the advocacy part, it was huge. I mean, that's, you got to be a member. You have to know what's going on. If you're a serious pest control operator, you got to know what's going on because changes are inevitable.
Yeah. And then, you know, after having gathered all that information and done all that work through the associations, the next step was to really kind of put a plan in place. And can you talk a little bit about that? What all was involved that Lloyd put in place in terms of using alternative rodent control products?
Well, for years prior to the passing of the bill, we knew what the bill was going to look like roughly. And they've, you know, this is something that's been kind of been tried, and it kept getting shot down. And so we knew what the original plan was, and we knew kind of the way that it kept moving, and the way that lawmakers kept tweaking it. So we knew that second gens were kind of the focus. We knew that. So what we did prior to that is we started playing or using or trying out different products that are not second gens. So we tried out some acutes, we tried out first gens, and we just took a look at everything that was out there. So I did have conversations with all of our, all of our reps. So all the major manufacturers, I had conversations with them. It's just kind of like, I know what is out there. And I am in the state of California, so just because something is out there does not necessarily mean that's registered in the state of California. So those relationships with the reps, that's crucial too, because they also know what's going on. This is their business, and they have a lot of insight, and they know the products in and out. So we took a look at pretty much every product that we potentially could be using if that bill did, pass, and it ended up passing.
Yeah. And then Can you talk about what did Lloyd Pest Control do in terms of training and retraining technicians and updating its service protocols?
Oh, yeah. So what we didn't want to do, what I think would have been a mistake for us to do, is just, you know, pick a different product and just go at it business as usual. That's what we did not want to do. It would have been easy enough just to say, hey, we're all going to use First Gens and we're good. Keep doing what we're doing. So we took a step back and we reevaluated our rodent control program. And so, you know, we primarily, Lloyd Pest Control, not completely, primarily we do a lot of residentials. I mean, I think it's 60% residential, 70% residential, something like that. So that was a big chunk of our business. So what we did is we went back and took a look at just how we are doing the work. We wanted to make sure that we rolled in integrated pest management or the integrated IPM principles into this. We went back and kind of designed a plan. You know, we used to help with software, and one of the big things that we took a step back to do is what we call an exclusion report. And it's something that we've been doing for a long period of time. Now we're using some software to do it that helps us do it, takes pictures, and gets a decent report out to our customers. We wanted to highlight, you know, keeping rodents out rather than having to just come back in and put materials out. We wanted to make sure that we protected our customers' properties and not let them in to begin with, or knock something down and make it more of a permanent thing than just, hey, it's going to work for a couple months and then rodents are going to go back in. So we rewrote our program. We focused on our exclusion report. We did a bunch of training at our branch offices for exclusion. I think that is going to be the wave of the future for rodent control moving forward. So I wanted to make sure that everybody from our quality control staff to our supervisors to our everyday route technicians knew how to do some really basic exclusion work. We also got, we were lucky enough to also have a termite department, or, you know, part of Lloyd Pest Control does termite control. And we have repair staff who are absolute whizzes at doing this kind of thing. Maybe they weren't as involved. Now we're trying to get them a little bit more involved to do some of this. So we leave it primarily up to supervisors to do exclusion work. But some of the really basic stuff, easy stuff that we should be doing, it's easier for us to go out and do something really basic, very easy, than to struggle on a trap out and prolong that trap out for X amount of weeks. You know, 30-day trap out can turn into 40, 50, 60-day trap outs really quickly. And if we just had some really basic stuff in our trucks for every one of our technicians to use, it makes our life easier. So we took a step back. We did some retraining with the exclusion report. We focused on exclusion itself and made sure that everyone was clear that, you know, these are the really basic, simple things that we can all do to help us get to that end zone, which is rodent-free account. So, given the fact that we have 9 different branches, it took a little while to kind of build this program. The software, that took a little while. We wanted to make sure that it's something that our customers can easily see. We wanted to make sure that we had something in our hands so we can show our customers that these are the areas that we're pointing out needs to be sealed up, or whatever the case may be. And then we need to make sure that we're able to do that work as well. So that took a little while. And honestly, that was when the bill passed. I think it passed, was it October? I it was only a couple months that we had before the end of 21, before the start of 21, I'm sorry. So we went ahead and made sure that we switched out the materials. Then during that whole same process at the same time, and it took us a little bit longer to do this, we revamped our program, focused on exclusion, make sure that everyone's got their right equipment, make sure that we have the software in place to provide that exclusion report. So that took a bit more time. Training is always going to take a lot more time, but I think we're in a better spot now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's almost like in some respects the restriction in some respects had a good effect on the company, in that reviewing your protocols and practices for rodent control is a good thing to do periodically anyways, and this sort of forced you to do it.
Oh yeah, and I thought we had a pretty decent program before, mm-hmm. And in, you know, day-to-day stuff, we all kind of drop the ball every now and then, so we took the opportunity to revamp what we're doing, focus on exclusion, get a decent looking report out, then look at what we're doing every day to try to make sure that nothing falls through cracks and we've had a few of those, you know, things that fall into cracks. We don't set up appointments correctly. So we took a look at the whole thing at one time.
Yeah.
So it's been an ongoing process, and it is now something that we're constantly looking at, rather than, hey, we're just going to go out, trap some rats or put out some, whatever the case may be. Now we're constantly looking at, how do I streamline this? How do I make this better? How do we communicate better with customers? Because that sometimes can be challenging, is making sure that a customer knows exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, and what their responsibilities are that we're going to ask them to do.
And that actually really leads into my next question. You know, being out in California, from everything we understand, people maybe are a little bit more in tune as to some of the issues with rodenticides, because they have had those issues with the secondary poisoning, with the mountain lions and so forth, and it's been a little more high profile out there. So what is the message that Lloyd technicians are sharing with their customers, clients, or just folks that they encounter about the rodenticide issue and how Lloyd Pest Control goes about rodent work?
Well, it kind of depends on what accounts we're talking about. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we're doing is we still do a lot of trapping. We still do trapping, traps that have been around for 50 years in pest control. We still do a lot of that in exclusion. I think the materials, like the bait stations that we're using as protection around structures, usually for us, it's apartments and businesses, things like that. But really, we focus on exclusion. We focus on trapping. Yes, we use a lot of materials. I didn't want a technician to go into a lot of detail with every customer. When this first came about, we had several confusion by the general public, thinking that all rodenticides were being banned.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we got several complaints, and County Ag in California does enforcement. And I know that we've been through several investigations, and we were fine. We switched out the right products. But I needed to just make sure that they understood what a first gen is, what a second gen is, what acute toxins are, what we are doing to protect non-targets, you know, like dogs, you know, that kind of thing. How we're putting out the bait stations and where we're putting the bait stations. So I just want them to know what the stuff is, how that stuff works, and how we can best mitigate anything from getting into that station. Those are like the big things that I try to drive home with them. And every one of our technicians has the ability to move a bait station, put it in another area. Or when we're setting up stuff, every one of our, usually for us, the supervisors go out there and they can nix putting out base stations if they feel it's unsafe, if there's something going on, if they feel like this is not a good spot for it safety-wise. They have every right to either not put it out or change it out to something like trap stations. But there are options. So I needed them all to understand what they were using, how we're using it, how we're trying to make sure that non-targets don't get into this, that kind of stuff. So I don't know that our technicians really talk a lot with the general public. A lot of times we'll get phone calls to the hub or to the office here for that. As far as our customers go, for the most part, like I said, it's mainly talking to customers about how we can get rid of them now and keep them from coming in the future.
In the article, you also just kind of briefly touched on the fact that, hey, there's these newly proposed EPA mitigation measures for rodenticides that were announced late last year, November, I believe it was November, December area. Can you talk about some of the plans that your company is kind of exploring in anticipation of these possible changes?
Yeah, that's always hard. Because you don't know what the end result's going to look like. And I know that I've been on a couple conference calls with DPR, that's California Department of Pesticide Regulation, and California's already done its thing, but I don't know what the federal laws are going to look like. And I looked at some of the proposed stuff, and some of it I think is already covered by what we do in the state of California. Some of it, like I'm not off the top of my head now. I should have had my notes in front of me. Additional education, no problem. That is not a problem at all. We are perfectly happy. We do this ongoing training at every branch every month, so that's not a big deal. The carcass part, where we had to go retrieve carcasses, now that's a challenge. That I don't know how to. We don't know how to do that per se. I just that's something that I am trying to wrap my head around, how that's going to look out in the field. I have no clue how that's going to look like. How are we going to put out some bait stations and then have to come back out there and remove carcasses. Most of the time, we don't see any. It's super rare when we ever find or see anything, mm-hmm. a carcass anywhere. There was additional PPE requirements. I know there was a couple of things, not all the rodenticides, but I think just being in the state of California, we have stricter PPE requirements than most other states. So, I mean, I've already kind of played with different products, so we're trying out different things and different products. That's something we do continuously. So, I mean, the hard part is you just don't know. You just don't know what that's going to look like. It's hard to kind of wrap your head around and build a plan, but it is things like when the AB 1788 actually got passed on that, we already had an idea like what it was going to look like. So I had something that I, in my mind, planned that I think pretty much mirrored what actually did pass. Yeah. Right now, with the federal government, I really don't know. I think it's still a little early in the process, but we still want to make sure that we're on top of it. We want to make sure that we're still doing our program. And some of it, honestly, is just, you know, I'm in California, so some of these changes are stuff that I already do anyway.
So, Efren, thanks again for joining us and sharing with our readers some of the experiences Lloyd Pest Control has had as they've kind of been navigating this whole issue with rodenticides this past couple years.
No, thank you, Brad. I appreciate the invitation.
Great. And for our listeners, I would encourage everyone to, again, take a look at this past April's AIPM Insights that was authored by Efren, where he goes into a little more in-depth about Lloyd Pest Control has gone about adhering to the new restrictions on rodenticides in the state of California. So thanks, everyone, for joining us today, and have a great day.